welcome to episode 21 of Average Black Girl. Today we are talking about all about the mind, the mindset, and what you need to do to prepare before you are ready to step into that stardom and that expert level of your brand and getting those public speaking gigs and building out however you want to do it. So I have the person that lives, eats, sleeps, and has been doing this for over a decade. I'm gonna let her go ahead and introduce herself. We connected on social media and she pitched herself so great that I booked her the very next day. So I am super excited to be not only talking about something that's near and dear to my heart, but to be having someone that is the industry expert and is really killing the game.
You are so sweet. Hi, everybody. I'm Jernay Alexander. I'm an author, keynote, and strategist, and I teach women entrepreneurs how to convert clients and increase their income through public speaking.
Awesome. So can you take us through who you were and how you were when you first started your brand? When you were first thinking about this, was it in college? Was it right after you started your first job? You know, where did you turn from, okay, I'm gonna go to school, get a great job, to I'm really gonna step in, make a name for myself, and be in my own lane?
Oh man, yes. It was a year out of college. I had had a job on a contract and that contract expired. I was going to go into this childcare business with my sister. She said she wanted to open up a childcare and I was just like, sure, I'll help you. Well, she changed her mind and I wasn't able to go back and renew the contract. I literally had said no, maybe 4 days in advance. And my sister told me that. So I went back and I said, hey, you know that, I wanted to come back. And she was like, I think you need to stick to your decision. And I was just like, whoa, okay, that's how you feel. But I ended up being unemployed for nearly a year. And it was one of the toughest years for me financially, because not only was I unemployed, but both of my roommates were still students and they were unemployed. And I was the only one with a credit card. And so I just pretty much dug myself into tremendous debt. I already had Sallie Mae knocking on my door, first of all. And then I was using my credit card to survive. I maxed it out completely and I couldn't find a job. I was educated. I did what they said. You know, you go to school so you can find a good job. And I couldn't find one. And so I was angry. You know, I felt like I had did everything, quote unquote, right. Mm-hmm. But nothing was right in my life. Now what I did next, I do not recommend, but this is just what I did. So just need to put that disclaimer out there. I just said, you know, I can suffer here. At the time I was in Kansas, and I said, I could suffer right here in Kansas, or I could suffer on a beach. Mm. And I said, you know, I'm going to the beach. And so I called up a friend who lives in LA and she's starting her own business at the time. And I was just like, do you still need help? And she said, yes. I said, if you feed me and house me, I will help you for free. And she said, when can you be here? I literally spent the last of my money on a plane ticket to LA and I lived there for 3 months. Wow. And it completely changed my thought patterns about so many things. But I'll tell you, what was most impactful as far as my business is concerned is that I could create my own opportunity, that I could create my own source of income, and I didn't have to depend on other people to survive. Like, I hated being so dependent on that. I hated trying to live up to someone else's measures of, you know, is she smart enough? Is she, you know, cultured enough or whatever? And trying to convince them that I was worthy of a job that I knew I could do in my sleep. And so after that, I came back and I just started thinking about my company. So in 2011, that's when I started my business and I started planning and branding and all that jive. So that's where it was conceived. I hope that answers the question.
Absolutely. And so where were your parents and your family support system? Were they supportive of this move to LA? Were they wanting you to come back home? Like, what happens? Because I feel like we don't talk about what our family or friends are and how they are when we're in a bad place. We always talk about when we made it and how they were always knew we would make it. But sometimes when you're in the stitch of it, it doesn't look too great. And the people closest to you may be telling you to do the opposite of what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. So to be honest, I did not ask them their opinions.
I know that's right.
I kind of had learned by that point that when you ask people for their opinions, they will give them to you and you may not always like them. Mm. So I didn't ask them. I just pretty much told them, hey, I'm going to go to LA for a couple months and help someone build their business. And they're just like, okay, you know, I didn't really let anyone know that I was having so many financial problems because okay. I was filled with a lot of pride.
Yep.
I didn't want anybody to see me failing because, like I said, I was educated. I had done all the right steps. And you know that feeling you get when someone says, oh, great, so what are you doing now? And you tell them all the good stuff you're doing. I didn't have anything good to share.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to, I was too prideful to tell people that I was struggling. So I didn't share these things with my support system until after they were over, because I didn't want them to be disappointed. I didn't want them to tell me to do things that I really didn't want to do, like move back home. I didn't mm-hmm. want to go home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I went to LA and it was phenomenal. It was life changing. And I did get another job after that. When I got home, I was able to get a job and I was there for 5 years. And that was also a great learning opportunity because I learned a lot about business. But I find that if you're trying to do something that you really want to do, it's really important to protect it. And so if you think that someone might have a negative opinion, don't share it with them at all. Just act, just move. And when they see it, they see it.
I think that's major key. For me, I can definitely relate to you as well. Anytime I'm about to do a major move, I go to inner counsel. I think that we don't give ourselves enough credit that we know what's best for us and how to properly lead us. And we also know when it's time to bring in someone else. But, mm-hmm. you know, God gave us that gut feeling and we're supposed to use it. And sometimes you have to go alone because God did not give everybody your vision. He gave you your vision. So I love it. And I am definitely going to be retweeting this. And that was a tweetable quote because most people need to have so much approval before they take a step. And that's with anything, with a new job, with moving, with even what do I wear. And it's like, no, you should be able to kind of do this. And the big steps, they should be able to go because you don't know what's on the other side. That LA trip turned out to be life changing. And who knows how many people have not done something because they were scared or needed somebody's approval. So I am so into this. So, okay, now that you have the, you know, your life-changing experience, you have your brand business and it's now doing well and you're telling people what's going on, let's get into how you decided to kind of niche down and your specialty that we're going to talk about today, this mindset. How did you come into one creating your system and what are some of the things that you want to share with us on the show?
Okay, well, I will tell you that I had some personal struggles. I recently niched down last year, so 2018. I don't mm-hmm. know when the listeners are listening, but mm-hmm. I niched down in 2018 when my husband, I just found him one day in the closet, just laying on the floor. You know, I had been wondering where he was because he had come home about an hour earlier and he disappeared. And so I found him in the closet on the ground. And I'm just like, hey, what are you doing? And he looks up at me and he's just like, I can't get up.
Oh.
And it turns out that he had a herniated disc in his spine. And I had to pick him up off the ground, which was really hard to do, being so short that mm-hmm. I am and him being so tall, and take him to the hospital. And the doctor put him on disability, which was really scary because at the time my business was kind of in a lull. Because I knew I had to make a shift from business launching, which is what I was doing at the time, mm-hmm. to something else that was catering to people I felt were being underserved.
Okay.
And so I had to go back to work. I had been in my own business free from an employer for over a year at that time, but I had to go back to work because your wages are docked when you go on disability. I had to try to be a emotional support for him because he felt like he was failing as a provider. I had to, you know, pick up the slack for my daughter, who was less than a year old at the time, trying to make sure that she was okay. She was being cared for. My husband couldn't even pick her up. Literally, he couldn't even do those little things. So I literally had to do everything, even with just supporting him going to physical therapy. And so it was scary and it was very stressful because I felt like there isn't really anyone who understood what I was going through. Especially being a millennial, you know, a lot of our friends, either they don't have families at all, mm-hmm. Or they have a family, but it's not like husband, wife, kid. It's like, I have a husband or I have a child or, you know, I have a dog, but they don't really understand what it feels like to go from, you know, you have some stream of income and you're dependent on someone else's income also.
Yeah.
And then you have to be the main breadwinner for other people other than yourself. So it was really tough, but I started, you know, I prayed. I'm like, God, what am I supposed to be doing? What's my niche? Because I know that I need to make this shift. I know I need to make it now because this working for other people is not working. I didn't like having to ask for permission just to take my daughter to her doctor's appointments, or just to take time to help my husband with his physical therapy. I hate it being limited. I was like, I gotta get out of here. I can't do it anymore. And so we just did an inventory, me and God, we did an inventory of all my skills, all my talents, and my past achievements. And that's when speaking came in. This is something that I've been doing since college, you know, doing presentations. In my professional career, I was presenting to CEOs. I was presenting to the executive board. I even presented to the top officers in a Fortune 500 company during my career, but I never considered it for my own business. And so I was just like, okay, well, let's see what's here. And I sat down and I created a system for getting speaking engagements. And literally 4 days later, I had my first paid speaking gig. It was $2,500 for 2 hours worth of work.
I know that's
and
right.
I was like, this is it. I instantly heard like the money song, the money, money, money. That was playing in my head. I was just like, this is the answer. So I latched on to that really quick and I created a new formula that I call the profit path. And I've literally discovered 7 ways that you can make money through speaking. And most people only focus on 1, which is getting hired to speak. But mm-hmm. I have found 7 ways that you can use speaking to raise your profits. And it's been a game changer, a real game changer. So I'm super excited about it.
Oh, I'm excited too. I'm like, okay, I am so into this. So I, for me, one of my goals this year is definitely to do more public speaking. And I will probably be contacting you afterwards to get these 7. So if you don't mind, can you share some of the steps or whatever you feel comfortable with? And then also for anyone listening, there is a freebie. If you can explain what your giveaway is, that's going to be in the link in the description box.
Absolutely. So I will share the profit path with you. I don't have a problem with that. Let me pull it up so I make sure that I don't skip any steps.
Okay.
Because I had originally found 6, but then I discovered a 7th one and I was just like, yes. So as far as the freebie is a readiness roadmap session. It's a free 30-minute session where I literally help you position your brand for profit, not just with public speaking, but in general. So what you receive is a digital analysis of your audience, your brand valuation, your signature offer, your content and copy, and your speaker's arsenal. I take a look at those 5 areas, I conduct an analysis, and you receive a digital roadmap that gives you a breakdown of the next steps to take to advance you to the next level. So it's probably the best 30 minutes you'll get for free anywhere. I haven't heard of anyone doing this. It's it's so beneficial because it's helping people to align their brand for profit. And then if they want to speak for profit, it also helps them with that in the process. So that's the freebie. So that's where the link will take you to book your session. And also, if you want to attend, there's a free masterclass. I know this is airing in March, but I'll be hosting it again. It's called Keynote to Cash, and it's where I will be breaking down my framework for building a successful, profitable speaking strategy. So whenever you're listening to this, there will be a link to sign up for the waitlist if I'm not currently hosting that masterclass, and it'll be on my website. So let's jump into the profit path. These are the seven opportunities that you have to make money at the event. So at the first level is the traditional level, which is getting paid to speak. So at this level, someone hires you to come and speak to their audience. They literally pay you in exchange for you speaking. At the second level, this is your signature offer. So this is where you're selling your main offering from the stage. You are literally embedding your sales pitch from beginning to end. So that way it primes your audience to buy from you and positions your signature offer as the solution to their number one problem without sounding salesy, without shoving anything down their throat, and without it being really awkward. At the third level is your captured lead. So you create a system for capturing leads because your relationship had just begun at that event. And when you capture that lead, you can nurture it and turn it into a sale outside of that event, because you may not get to talk to everyone afterwards, or you might only have a limited time to address the audience. So when you capture that lead, you can still direct them towards your signature offer, get them on a sales call, and book them, you know, at that time. Step number four, or level four, will be the on-the-spot consultation. So if you're a consultant, or if you have a certain service that you provide that you can provide quickly, you can do it right there at the event. You can have people sign up and say, yes, I want to hire you to teach me or to do this for me. And you can do that right on the spot. You say, okay, your appointment is at 3:00 this afternoon. I'll see you after the whatever workshop, and we'll get it done. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people always want to plan things way into the future, but there's no need to delay if you have the time then, because the more time you put between yourself and that person, the more they get busy, the more they forget what they saw at the event itself. But if they're on fire, that's when they're the warmest, and that's when you need to jump on the opportunity. So there's learning there with selling on the spot. And then of course, the next level will be the sign up. So the people who sign up for your calendar to sit and talk with you or jump on a sales call, that's the fifth level there. Then the sixth level is your table and all of your secondary offers. So you've seen this too. You've seen people with vendors' booths, and they have like their books on the table. They have some products, things like that. So this is where you highlight your secondary offers on your vendor's booth, and you create a very simple experience for people to make purchases with you right then and there. And then the last level is using this time to sell tickets for your own events. And so people have already heard you speak. They really love what you're doing. They're on fire. They want to come to one of your events now. So why not just tell them about it right then and there and say, hey, I'll see you at the next event. It's in May. Let's get your seats reserved. And, you know, I just thought of something else that I'm going to have to add to this darn profit path. But it's also an opportunity for you to pitch yourself as a speaker for one of their events. So you can actually land more speaking gigs right there at a speaking gig. That's the perfect place because they just sampled you live and in person. So those are the steps. This conversation just brought that to my mind. So now I have 8 steps to the profit path.
I think that is great. All of those things I am seeing, and I'm like, I've seen somebody do that, or yes, that makes sense. A lot of times I feel like without having your tools and understanding the process of utilizing public speaking, we think, okay, we've made it, this is the gig. But it's like, no, you want to always be selling and cultivating new people and new leads. And I think that a lot of people think it has to be one of those where if they don't buy right now, it's done. And it's like, no, you have options. They can buy now, they can book you for later, they can join your opt-in, and you can cultivate that relationship a little bit later. There's so many different ways that you can utilize these things, and you are really making it very easily to consume. I've sat in a few different webinars and seminars and things like that, and this I think is one of the easiest ways to explain what you should be doing, and you've explained it in a way that it's applicable to anybody. It doesn't matter if you're doing business or parenting or anything. This is something that everybody can utilize, so I am really, really excited for this. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. And I think that's why I was super excited to be niching down, because it's so fluid. Speaking is so fluid, and it works with almost every business strategy that you're already using. So it's not like there's a huge learning curve present. Yeah. There is an emotional curve, maybe, because some people have anxiety when it comes to public speaking. But then that's where you have to make that mindset shift in what you consider to be public speaking. For example, this interview, this is public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you most people would not consider it to be that kind of an opportunity.
You're absolutely
most
right.
Most people will separate it, and they're just saying, well, you have to be on a stage in order for it to count as public speaking. But that's not true. There's actually over 15 ways that you can use public speaking that I know of, and it's still, that list is still growing. But if you utilize the profit path, all you have to do is take the pieces that are appropriate for that medium, they're called speaking mediums, and you use it appropriately, you can still benefit from any of those opportunities just as you could from a physical stage.
Yeah, I agree. I think that people are now getting to the point where they're understanding that Facebook Live, LinkedIn Live just launched this week. Like, there's so many different ways that they're pushing that you having your voice is key within even social media. And for people that are scared and don't want to get there, I'm like, this is the wave. This is what they're pushing down our throats. And because Facebook owns Instagram, if they're pushing it, everything else is going to follow suit. And so I'm excited to see pretty much anybody, regardless of where your career path is, if you want to be in corporate, if you want to do your own thing, if you want to do a little bit of both, you know, developing your personal brand and figuring out what your story is going to be, I think is amazing. And I'm glad that you discussed niching, because so many people are so afraid of niching. They're like, well, I feel like if I can't service everyone, then it won't be great. But it's like, the sooner you niche down, the higher your conversion rates are going to be, because you're talking exactly to exactly who you want to talk to. So I think that that is really key. And I'm glad that you're sharing that, because so many people are like, and you'll see these stories on Facebook, these ads, well, this is how I made $10,000 in like 3 months. And it's like, okay, yes. But you also didn't talk about how you first started trying to service everybody, and now you're niche down and all these things. They just are skipping a lot of what you're being open and honest about and taking us through that process.
It's so funny, Danielle, because I hate those ads. They're just so commercial and generic now. I laugh at them when they come across my newsfeed, because I'm just like, is that really working for you? Like, are people clicking on this ad at all? Okay.
At this point, people are clicking to make comments and see like who can have the craziest, trolliest comment. Because I click and watch. I'm like, oh, okay, this one is a good one.
That's crazy.
So now we're going to go into the next segment, which is the What I Wish I Had Known. So a lot of my listeners are either business owners going into that next phase where they're figuring out what their brain is going to be or getting in that process, or they're in the mid-level of their career and they're ready to really stand away from the pack. So tell me, what are three things, ideas, advice, anything that you had wish you had known when you were younger that you would like to share?
Well, the first thing would be, don't be afraid to be vulnerable.
Mm.
Like I said, during that time when my business was just coming into fruition, I had a lot of pride and I didn't want to ask for help. I didn't want anyone to have anything to do with what I was doing, but I honestly needed help and I needed guidance. But my pride was standing in front of me, and so it prevented my growth. You know, it stunted me for a while, having that kind of pride. It fueled me, but it also kept me back from where I needed to be. So I would definitely tell myself, you know, it's okay to be wrong and admit that you're wrong, and that is to be expected. So just put it out there and ask for help so you can get where you're trying to be. The second thing would be that it's okay to change your mind. I think we set our goals and we set our sights on something and we strive for it. And then when things change, we're kind of afraid to let people know that because we don't want to hear backlash. Because, you know, you have trolls, you have people who are just watching to watch you fail and you don't want to satisfy them. You're just kind of cringing, hoping that they're just like, oh, well, you thought you was going to do all this and now look at you. And you feel like you have to keep up a front because you already put yourself out there. But it's fine. Like, you're going to change. You need to change. And with this technology and social media being the way it is, you're going to change publicly, which is an obstacle that wasn't present before. You know, back in the day, they didn't have to worry about this kind of social impact. But now there's definitely a lot more pressure to be successful when once you have already put yourself out there. But if you change your mind, it's okay. Just tell people that was then, this is now, let's move forward. So don't be afraid, you know, don't be afraid to change your mind and listen to that voice that's telling you to niche. I think that's another reason people don't break things down because they're just like, well, I already started this, I need to commit. No, you don't. Like, it's okay to change. The third thing would be timing and clarity and order are everything. So with timing, you really want to make sure that you're in alignment, with the opportunities that you want for yourself and for your business. So sometimes we set these big goals and we're just like, oh man, I want to, you know, I want to do a TED talk.
Right.
And so then you see an application for a TED talk and you apply, but it's not the right time because you're not at the right place in your business to conduct a TED talk, but you're just so anxious for it that you're going after it. And when you get told no, you feel, you know, a certain type of way, and then you feel like a failure, and then you're telling yourself, well, they just don't like me. Well, no, it wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
And so if you understand that there will be a better opportunity for you in the future, you won't rush the process. You won't rush yourself to hurry up and succeed just because an opportunity pops up. There will be awesome opportunities that show, you know, come across your path. But if you're not ready, you actually risk damaging your reputation because you're presenting something that is less than what you are trying to accomplish. So it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, I can help you, you know, I can help you do this, but I'm still in school. No, you can't help me do this. You need to learn. You need to focus on them books and learn. It's like a doctor saying, yes, I can operate on you, but I need to finish medical school first. I'm also in medical school. No, you're not operating on me. I need somebody who's ready now. So timing is everything. And then clarity. Clarity is that, you know, distinctive insight, foresight, you know, hindsight, all of it, just knowing exactly what you want to be doing. With entrepreneurs, especially in the beginning phases, we have a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And we are influenced by so many things, so many professionals, and all these ads that we're seeing telling us that their solution is the best solution and telling us why we need to incorporate in our business. And so we're trying everything.
Yeah.
And so we don't have the clarity to say, you know what, this is actually not appropriate for me, or this is not authentic to who I am. I shouldn't be using it. Instead, we just invest in all this stuff without the knowledge of, hey, this is this is not going to serve your audience, and this is not going to serve you. You're going to waste a lot of money. You're going to waste a lot of time, which I did both. And then if you're not mature enough, you're going to blame them. You're going to blame the expert and say, well, they're just a fraud. But actually, it's because you didn't have the clarity and wisdom to see that it wasn't appropriate for you at the time, or it wasn't appropriate for your business. And so that's why order is my third item, because there is a sequence of steps in a particular order that you must take to be successful in your expertise. And every industry is different. So if you're building a business, and as you know, Danielle, mm-hmm. when you're building your brand, you have to get some things in line before you try to sell someone anything. You have to get you have to get your offer together. Like, what is the value that I bring? Who am I serving? What are their problems? Where can I find these people? You know, what have they tried in the past? If you don't even know any of that stuff and you're just out here just trying to sell something, you're probably not going to sell anything, or you're just going to get really lucky and sell one or two things, you know, every now and then. But order, there is an order for a reason, because that's how you set up the foundation that you need to be stable, so you're not out here struggling.
I love that. Just to piggyback on that, I think that what the overall theme of what you're saying is, one, trust your process, but two, make sure that you're constantly reevaluating. It's normal for you to want to do a lot of things when you start out because you don't know what's going to hit. What's not normal is for you maybe year one or year two in, and you still don't know what's going on and what you want to niche down, and what's going to be your maybe three things that you're good at that people know you by. And when you look at people that are year five, and you look at yourself when you're maybe 6 months in or year one in, it's unfair to yourself to compare yourself to be that. No one's overnight. Even the overnight successes are overnight to you, but they've been grinding for a while, and yes, everyone has changed themselves. No one has come out as the same person that they were when they first started, and that's normal. And with social media, you're gonna have to change. You're gonna have to change as the times change. And before, that really wasn't what was pushed, but I think with this new time frame and this new millennial era, it's what you have to do. And so I'm excited that people are having more honest conversations about what they are, because we always see like the prim and proper or the story that they give us that's been scripted and perfected by speaking coaches and things like that, but no one sits down and says, hey, when I first started, I was doing X and it was cool, but then I really realized I needed to scale my business, and so I pulled back. Like for me, I have one or two clients that I actually help to schedule and do like posts, but that's not really my ideal client because it's time consuming and I have to hire a team to help me do it. So mm-hmm. I really push strategy because I can give you my courses, I can give you my advice, we can have a one-on-one session, but then it's on you to implement. And implementation Absolutely. Is hard. And so that is something that I have to be honest with myself. Do I want to spend hours thinking and strategizing and all this, or do I want to kind of pass that off? And so that is something that I'm open about. I would love to tell people, like, if you don't want to do that, then let's niche that down and put that as a lower priority. So I am really excited that, one, I'm able to talk to someone else and I'm seeing that, hey, you're not alone, this is normal, and you're on the right path. But two, that people are just more open with their journeys, because so many people only share after they've been through something and not when they're kind of in the midst of it, or letting people know that, hey, what you're going through is super normal.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's good for you to say that too, because we, I just lost my thought. You said something that triggered something. Oh, crap. I hate when that happens. Don't you?
It's okay. It's okay. If it comes back, we can just always, edit this part out.
Yeah, I had something, but it's okay. It's okay. Fine.
No worries. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the what you need to know section of my brand. So the what you need to know section, we're just going to talk about some public speaking tips. Two websites that I want to share for anybody listening that wants to get into public speaking is speakerhub.com and myspeakingagent.com. Both of those are great. My speaking agent has speaking gigs from now until I want to say the middle of next year, and you can filter by category, so you're able to filter by faith, entrepreneurship, just so many different things. And so I have a couple of friends that have already been successful. I've already gotten gigs off of speakerhub.com. And so if anyone's like, where do I start? How do I find these people? That's a good place to go ahead and start there. So I wanted to make sure that we are able to give you guys something that you can go and check out tonight.
Awesome. I had heard of HubSpot, but I hadn't heard of SpeakerHub, so I will definitely check that out too.
Yes, SpeakerHub is how I got my university. I went to the University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana. They actually booked me for a webcom through that thing, so I attest to that. So the next part, my final section, is going to be our listening letter. So the listening letter, a person wrote in, "Dear Danielle, I'm in year two of my business and I'm just starting to make some money. I'm finding myself not able to spend as much time with my friends. I know this won't last always, but can you give me some advice on how to better balance? Do you have any advice for that person that's trying to figure out what their quote unquote balance is?"
Yeah, set some priorities and stick to them. mine are God, family, business, then friends, literally in that order. So if my business needs something and my friends need something, business comes first. If my family needs something and my business needs something, family comes before that. So it just makes things easier for me, and I let them know what those priorities are. So you set your priorities, and then you set expectations with your friends so they won't be disappointed or surprised. So you just keep that line of communication open and let them know, hey, y'all, I'm really focused on my business right now. It's going to keep me away. I'm not going to be as available as I used to, but know that I'm thinking of y'all, and I will definitely come out whenever, you know, is most convenient. But I'm not ignoring you. I'm not trying to be or act a certain kind of way. I'm just really, you know, I'm focused on my progress. And then make sure you schedule time off. I know you're excited about your business. I know you're excited about the money that you're making now, but you need to take time to relax and conduct self-care and have fun. So just like you have a regular job and they give you two days off during the week, you need to give yourself at least one day off during the week where you just go be yourself and don't have anything to do with your business, because that's how you create balance, is you make time to take care of yourself. And part of that means is taking time for friends and taking time to just relax.
Yeah, I would add that you really want to figure out, now that you're starting to make with your business and you decided that you're going to stay with this business, you need to figure out what your ideal life looks like. Because sometimes what's right in front of us, we will get tunnel vision. And that's great when you're first starting and you're creating something, maybe processes and procedures or a project that is going to take you to the next level or whatever. But once that's done and you're figuring out what your day-to-day is, you really need to understand like what is necessary and what isn't. Like for instance, for me, I was at a client meeting today and it was originally scheduled from 1 to 2. So I know how most meetings are, they go over. So I pay for parking for 2 hours. After 2 hours, it was still going. And I was like, I have 15 more minutes. After that, they kind of still wrapped up. I literally grabbed my coat and I was like, we have to continue later, because I already had a meeting with a friend and I wasn't going to miss it. And yes, it was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but that was the okay when the meeting originally was supposed to end around 2. So with that being said, did I choose to be the stellar? No, I was like, we'll meet again next week. It's not that big of a deal. And this is important to me. It's important to meet friends. It's important for me to dedicate time to people in my life that are not with my business. And the old me, without balancing, would have stayed, maybe canceled or tried to reschedule and, you know, lose sleep and all that. No, that's not what I want to do. And it's only because I'm able to figure out like what my why is. Why am I doing all this? And what ultimately do I want my day to day, week to week, to month to look like? And it's not working really, really hard. It's working smarter and understanding when it's time to scale if the workload is that serious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're taking care of business. Like, if you're going to come into this lane, if you're going to come into this world of entrepreneurship, you got to be about it. You got to be about your business when it's time. So you have to really shift your mind from, I want to make other people happy, to I want to make my business profitable.
Love it.
And that'll make you act right.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. Leave your contact information one more time for anyone that's listening that might have missed the beginning.
Sure. So if you want to check out my stuff online, I'm on Instagram, Jornay Alexander. That's G as in girl, E-R, N as in Nancy, A-E, Alexander, all one line. I'm also on Facebook. You can join my community, which is Speak for Profit with Jornay Alexander. And you can check out my website. The link will be changing, but right now it's hernation.com, HERNAETION.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining. Everyone, don't forget to click the description box below to get that freebie. And we will see you in the next episode.